So last week I spoke on Psalm 22, and if you were here, you would have heard me say that after Psalm 22 comes Psalm 23, and after Psalm 23 comes Psalm 24. Why do I mention that? Because Psalm 22, 23 and 24 are a trilogy of psalms. The psalms are grouped together purposely. Psalm 22 is prophetic in its style. It talks about the cross. Psalm 23 is about the present, in as much as it talks about the shepherd. And Psalm 24, which we'll look at next week, talks about the future glory of Christ. So we have past, present and future. And tonight we're at Psalm 23. Psalm 23, possibly the best known of all the psalms, and maybe one of those psalms that perhaps people are familiar with because it's a favourite that is said at funerals. In fact, at one point, I could not sing the Lord's My Shepherd. We couldn't sing the Lord's My Shepherd or even mention Psalm 23. When they were here and we sung it or we read the psalm, it brought back memories of their member of the family's funeral, and they just sort of broke down, and it was too painful for them to remember. So hopefully, as I talk about Psalm 23 tonight, it won't be painful, but it will be an encouragement to us. Second thing that I want to say to you tonight is that perhaps, although I will look at it verse by verse, but I'm not necessarily doing a theological analysis of it tonight. I'm not doing some great essay on it whereby you can mark me out of 10 at the end of it. I'm just going to speak freely and openly. I might concentrate on more bits than others. I've purposely not looked too much at any of the material that I've done in the past, because I think over the last couple of years, over the last years since I've been a pastor, and I've been a pastor too long that I care to remember now, the years stack up, over 20, would you believe it? I've spoken on Psalm 23 a number of times. And I don't want just to go back and sort of rehash old stuff. I want to bring something fresh, and I want to sort of bring something that God wants to speak to our hearts tonight. So in that sense, it perhaps won't be a deep theological work, but perhaps something that God will just speak to and minister to our heart. Let's read it, and then we'll make some comment. So the Lord is my shepherd, I'll lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is, hallelujah, the Lord is, the Lord, the covenant God, L-O-R-D. You'll notice in your Bibles, Lord is spelt with small capitals, which means it's Yahweh, the divine name, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. The God who is faithful, the God who is everlasting, the God who always has been, the God who could be relied upon. This is the Lord that the psalmist David is talking about tonight. And the Lord is always. His love for you is always constant. Have you seen the John Lewis Christmas advert? Have you seen that? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Every year, John Lewis, the department store, has a sort of a tear-jerking advert that they have, that they put on the telly. It lasts 2 minutes long. Have a look on it online if you've not seen it on the telly. This year it's about some trampoline that's erected in somebody's garden and all these animals come and jump on it. Oh, you've seen it, have you, Frank? You've seen it, Frank. Well, very good. Well, the content of the advert's not too, it's not what I want to comment upon. What I want to comment upon is the song lyrics that are sung, "Someday I'll Fly Away." You know, flying up in the trampoline. I guess that's why they decided that they wanted to sing it as the background music to this advert. "Someday I'll Fly Away." It was a song that was sung in Moulin Rouge. But one of the lines in this song that is sung, in this quite depressing song actually, which is spoils the advert for me, but it says, "What more could your love do for me? When will your love be through with me?" Hallelujah. God's love will never be through with me. You know, you talk about people who have a lover's tiff and I've had enough and I'm through with you. I don't want to know you anymore. Thank you, Jesus. You are never going to be through with us. Martin and Chris have reminded us of how God was on the cross, and yes, he didn't say, no, I'm not going to die for you. I'm through with them. I'm through with Peter. No, he was always there. And always will be. The Lord is. We're not forgotten. The Lord is. God doesn't forget us. There's one of those lines in history, I think, that will be written on Wikipedia and will always be one of those lines that Trump's remembered about in one of his sort of his victory speech that he gave. Not that probably that he wrote it, but it was an interesting line that the journalist picked up on. And he says, "The forgotten will no longer be forgotten." Well, hallelujah. God hasn't forgotten us. And never will forget us. And never has forgotten us. There was a chap that came into the cafe earlier on in the week. He talked to Ian and the conversation was about church and about whether Ian was a Christian and this, that and the other. And the gentleman, whilst waiting for his coffee to be dispensed, said, "Well, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore." And Ian says, "Well, why is that?" He says, "Well, ever since my father died, you know, I turned my back on God. Never been back into church ever since." That man has forgotten God. Turned his back on him. But I thank the Lord that he hasn't forgotten him. You know, and he's somebody else that we could be praying for. Somebody else at the cafe. Another customer at the cafe is praying for. Because God has not forgotten that person. God has not forgotten the people in Honley. God has not forgotten the people on Roundway in this estate. God has not forgotten the people where you live. He's not through with them and never will be through with them because he's loved them, gave Jesus to die for them on the cross that they might be free. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, the shepherd bit we'll think about later on because that's what the whole psalm's about. I lack nothing. He's everything that we need. Hallelujah. What does Philippians 3:19 say? Able to supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by beside quiet waters. He is the one that enables us to enjoy life without fear. You see, a sheep would never lie down, A, if it was hungry, and secondly, if it was in fear. Still doesn't. If there's any tension in the flock. I mean, we used to have sheep that used to be in the field opposite us. We've seen sheep opposite us for years now, haven't we? But whenever you used to sort of go through the gate, the sort of the gate that opens up to go to the footpath, the sheep would freeze and they'd scarper to the other corner of the whole field because they were frightened of man. A sheep will lie down where there is no fear. A sheep will lie down where its needs are met. And this is what this is about. He leads me beside quiet waters because the sheep don't like rough water either. He gives us peace. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He meets every need I will not want. He is the answer to all our needs.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
True story. I went to a meeting earlier on in the week, organised by a group of churches not a million miles away from here. I took Rebecca along with me, and I wanted to go because I'd been invited by somebody to go to that because they thought it would be interesting. It was a meeting about mental health issues, how we can help people who are struggling with mental health issues. And I thought that it would be interesting to go because some of the speakers were high profile speakers. They were people that were very, very high up in the local mental health authority and people who knew what they were talking about in these areas. And I took Rebecca along with me. She took Rebecca along with me. I said, "Rebecca, let's go to this meeting organised by these churches so that we can just be encouraged to be able to understand the situation a little bit more and be able to sort of know how better to respond to this, because this is what this whole seminar is all about. So we sat down and we started to listen. The meeting opened. It didn't particularly open with prayer, but that wasn't particularly unusual. And you can talk to Rebecca afterwards, because she'll probably tell you probably more than what I can remember of it. And the first speaker got up and said, the reason why there are so many mental health issues amongst many people in this land is because there is a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. And I thought, wow, whew, yeah, that's good, isn't it? That's right. Because people are hopeless. People look at their situation and they think, what am I to do? How is this need going to be met? They look at themselves and they think, I'm helpless. There's no hope. And because there's no hope, there is despair. And so this gentleman articulated a little bit more about what the definition of a mental health need was, and what caused it, kind of thing. But then the solution was, you need to give everybody a good job, you need to give everybody a good house, you need to give everybody good health, and you need to give everybody good education. Once you can meet all of those, everybody will be happy. And this church ministers, because there are about half a dozen church ministers there, is the answer to the mental health needs of the people in your community. He didn't put it quite like that, but that's what he was saying, wasn't it, Rebecca? So I asked a question. What about the people who have got a nice home, good education, all the money in the world, and a nice house, and a lovely job? Didn't get an answer, did I? Because Jesus is all I need, all we need. And then somebody else got up and said that we need to hug a tree, and John Wesley, oh sorry, I've just given it away where I was. John Wesley would have turned in his grave. Especially when half the ministers then turned out to say they didn't believe in God. But that was another matter. And I said, we had a little question and answer session, a little plenary around tables at the end of it. And I said, I think we're barking up the wrong tree here. I said, it's because, you know, we can meet people's material needs. We can give them everything in the world. But at the end of the day, if they don't have Jesus, they don't have anything. And it is only Jesus that can fill the void and bring us hope that people need. And Jesus is the light in the darkness. He is hope for those in despair. He is help for the downtrodden. He brings comfort to the wounded. He mends broken hearts. He feeds the hungry. The thirsty have their thirst quenched. He is the one that meets our needs. And the church has a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus so that the bereaved have hope. So that those without hope have hope. So that those who feel helpless have the grace that helps them. And we have the good news of Jesus. Well, you'd have thought I'd have said a four-letter word. Because I was shouted down. Well, not shouted down, but I was the only person in the crowd of about 40 who had the courage to stand up and say that Jesus is the answer to our needs. The Lord is not through with us. My shepherd. Oh, I didn't mention my, did I? My. Mine. You remember the... I told you it wasn't going to be necessarily... something that you could mark me out of 10 on, because we're going to go back to, because I've missed a point now. Lord is my shepherd. Mine. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And the banner over his name is love. Have you seen that song?
Yes.
In the old days? What is it? The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. I've got to go back in my notes now.
Oh, I can't find it. Never mind.
You're always my shepherd. He's personal. He's precious to you. You know, when you talk about, she's my wife, my husband, my child. They're precious. And to David, the shepherd was precious to him. But what I want to remind us of tonight is that the beloved is mine and I am his. That we are precious to God. He looks down on you and says, my Ian, my Joshua, my Gail, my Frank, because you're precious to him. I think that should have gone with a bit where he's not forgotten you.
Hallelujah.
So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Now, one of the things when you've got the Strong's Dictionary. The Strong's Dictionary is the Greek dictionary of words that's used in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew dictionary for the words used. And I'm not quite happy with this word "refreshes" here as it's translated in the NIV. I need to do some homework and think about this a little bit more carefully as to why the NIV translators and other translators have used the word "refreshes," because actually, if you go back to the Hebrew, a preferential word that I would have used is that he restores. And Chris has already reminded us of how he restored Peter. And it reminds me that when we fail, he picks us up and he puts us back together again. He puts us back on our feet. You know, and I think I've talked in the past about a sheep. You know, a sheep is one of those animals that if it falls on its back, on all fours, it can't get back up again. So if you ever watch Shaun the Sheep, Joshua's got plenty of those. So sheep goes back on its back and it can't get back up again. It needs someone to put the sheep back on its feet. And God, the shepherd, puts us back on our feet. He restores us. But then again, the word restore in the Hebrew language is talked about putting back together things that were broken. So for example, if a jar was broken and it was put back together, it was restored. Right? Now, Frank, do you watch Bargain Hunt? Bargain Hunt. Do you watch Bargain Hunt? Antiques Roadshow.
I see some of it.
You see some of it. Okay. You watch it. Anybody else? You've seen the program. Log it. You know what it is.
Yeah.
What happens, someone comes along and they say, oh, I've got this lovely jar. This Ribena thing will be a lovely jar. And they said, oh, it's been restored. We can see here there's been a little bit of restoration work down there. And yes, there's a crack there, but we can see that over the years it's been restored. It's a very good restoration. Okay, and but the cap has been put in, and the glaze in there is just not original. You can just feel it here. It's a restoration work.
Mm.
Restoration. Well, what's the value on that? Well, I'd just like to say that if it hadn't been restored, £1,000.
Yeah.
Everybody stands back in it. Yeah. But because of the restoration, £10. It had lost value because it had been restored in the world. Hang on to this, friends. This is profound. When God restores you, you do not lose value. He adds value. And if you take nothing else home, you need to hear that. You know, I just feel one of those points where I just feel the anointing upon me now. This is for somebody. That your history does not mean that God cannot use you, he can use you. Because so often we say, I cannot be used by God because of my history. Because of all that I've been through. Ian, if you knew what I've been through in my life, you wouldn't want to talk to me. You wouldn't feel that I was worthy enough to be part of what this, that or the other. But I want to say that because God has restored you, because God has put you back together, you are more valuable than you ever were. I was just trying to think of another example that perhaps illustrates this. You know, I was thinking of Gary and his washing machine. And, you know, that here he has. My Bosch washing machine gave out. Gary says, well, if it, because it's a Bosch, I'll repair it. He likes Bosch's, don't you, Gary? He says, so he repairs it. Takes it away to his garage, puts a new motor in it, puts new brushes in it, does all this, whatever. Yeah. And he comes back and puts it back in, and he says, and Gail says, well, it's as good as new. Well, no, actually, because Gary's put it back together and he's used better parts than were there in the original, it's better than new. So he's given it a clean up. He's blown out all the dust, he's blown out all the dirt, he's done his reconditioning service on it, he's given it the, you know, the diamond treatment. And when God restores us, he gives us the diamond treatment, the top of the range treatment. And he does such a good job that he blows away all the muck and all the sin and all the stuff that was rotten in our past. And we're not as good as we were before we were broken. But we are better than we were before we were broken. That is amazing. He refreshes. He restores us. Now, Father, thank you that you restore us. And it doesn't matter what we've been through. You've put us back together again. Doesn't matter about our history. Your touch is upon our lives. You've built us up. You've restored us. And we're not worthless because we've been restored. But we're more valuable because of it. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Often we think about, this is me. This is when we're going to die. You know, this is when we're on our deathbed. You know, it's often a psalm that's read by pastors at people's bedsides when they're about to pass away into glory. I will fear no evil. But it's a word for us today. Not just for when we're about to go to glory. It's a word for us today, so that whenever we feel afraid, we need not worry, even though I walk through the darkest valley. So think about it for a minute. What is the worst thing that could ever happen to you? You don't have to answer that, you just think about it in your head. What is the worst thing that could ever happen to you? And you probably come up with a few things right now. But now I want to say to you, if that worst thing were to happen, would God still be God? Yes. Would God still be on the throne? Yes. Would God still love you? Yes. Would God still be beside you? Yes. Would God still be helping you? Yes. So even if the worst thing in the world could happen to you was to happen tonight, God would still be with you. That means that even if the worst doesn't happen tonight, and even if something on this, even if the worst thing was happened to you tonight was 100 on the scale from 1 to 100, and say tonight you got home and something 5 on the scale happened, you could still be assured that God was with you. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's never going to be through with us. He's never going to forget us. We've gone through that. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod is something that the shepherd would use to beat off the enemies. Father, thank you, Lord, that you are acting on our behalf, protecting us from those that would come against us. Father, thank you that your staff, your crook, is sort of pulling us out of the ditches when we stray.
Thank you, Lord.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some commentators say that the area where where the sheep would pasture, so just imagine a stretch of field on the top of, on the side of a hill, they would call that a tableland, you know, and it's the table of pasture where the sheep would feed. And some people think that this is saying that God prepares us a place where we are secure and protected from our enemies. The enemies may be all around, but we are safe in that area that God has protected for us. You anoint my head with oil. Anybody be watching that crown thing on Netflix? You have Maggie. You're a fan, are you? Oh, we've only got to 2 episodes so far. All right, okay. If you want to watch it, go round Maggie's, all right? She's got Netflix. Cost £100 million to make 10 episodes. £10 million an episode. Would you believe it? More money spent on that than anything else. But never mind, that's not my point. The point is that in episode 4 or 5, the Queen is crowned and the Archbishop comes and anoints her with oil to be Queen. The anointing, a sign of the presence of God. And when the Holy Spirit oil comes upon our lives, when He anoints, it's a sign of the presence of God in our lives, bringing healing, bringing power, bringing strength, bringing peace, bringing joy. Shepherds used oil on the head of sheep to keep them free from ticks and all kinds of crawling creatures. So they didn't have sheep dips like they have nowadays, and they didn't have Savlon or anything like that. But if there was a cut ticks that were and lice within the wool of the sheep, the olive oil would make them slip away. You know, just like today when we have lice in our hair. You know, what's one of the things that the chemist says that you've got to do? You've got to put on some slippery conditioner so that the lice can't lay their eggs and what have you. Well, it's a similar thing. Olive oil made all their wool slippery so that all the creatures could not live within it. And of course the olive oil brought healing to the cuts. And it just reminds me again that the shepherd is the great healer. He anoints with oil so that we are free from all those irritations, those insects that come and cause irritation and discomfort. And he brings oil to those cuts that bring healing and comfort. Thank you, Lord. And my cup overflows. Which is just a reminder that God is not a mean God. Have you ever been to these places where you've gone and you've had a meal and you've ordered a Coke? I'm just talking from personal experience. You might have ordered a drink of another kind, but you've ordered a Coke. And your meal's turned up and your Coke's come along. And the glass has only been 3/4 full. And there you are, you've been charged £1.95 for this Coke, and you think, dearie me, you know, I've been shorted by 50p's worth of cola. You know, this is me thinking, you see.
Yeah.
And we've been shorted by 50p's worth of cola. This isn't fair. But then when the psalmist says, when David says, my cup overflows, God has not been mingy. He's not given us the least that he can give away with giggleness. You see, because you might say to the waitress or the waiter, hey, I ain't got... Well, it's to the line, it's to the measure. I've given you the whole bottle, you know, whatever. And they're mean. They give you the least amount that they can. But God doesn't give you the least amount that he can get away with because he needs to save resources and he needs to maximise his profit. No. He gives of himself so that he overflows. Your cup overflows. I've got more than enough. I've got so much. See, you can say, hey, don't put any more, and it's going to fall, it's going to overflow. Hey, that's enough. Now, God is not mingy. He wants to give you more and more and more. But like going to, instead of going to the place where you've got those a glass of cola where it's only filled 3/4 full to the glass, it's one of those bottomless deals. But you can get where you can go back to the machine as many times as you like, as many times as you like. And they never make any profit out of me when I have one of those deals. I think about that. Come over here, God. It's not me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. You see, what David is doing is reflecting on everything that he's thought about, and he's just sort of pondering that. Wow, surely, dear, surely, yes, certainly, is probably a better word. Certainly, surely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy and love, which is that covenant love that I was talking about the other week, that steadfast, loyal love, chesed, will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I seem to be quoting a lot of television programs tonight. You ever remember that? You've got to be old to remember this, Frank. Right? Some mothers do have them. You remember that? Yeah. You remember that episode where Frank Spencer comes out the Chinese and his dog follows him? Yeah. His dog follows him.
Not that one.
Just that one. That's why. Yeah. Dog follows him. And he tries to sort of hide from the dog. He hides behind the car and he runs off, only to find that the dog follows him. See? And he tries to shake the dog off. And he runs into his house, shuts the door, and he comes out the door and he looks down the road to see whether he's shaking him off. And there he is sat at his knee. Couldn't shake him off. And that is... Don't get me wrong here, but, you know, I like to think that God follows very closely beside us, like a dog follows us. And even if we try to shake him off, which hopefully we wouldn't, he still keeps very close to us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that my security with God in heaven is guaranteed. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's it. What do I want you to take home tonight? Well, maybe you've thought some things, but I think, you know, one of the things that I think is special for at least somebody here tonight, one person here tonight, if not more, is that even though God has restored you, even though you're a restoration project, in many cases, this is true for all of us, because we're all restoration projects. But if you believe that you are not so valuable because you're a restoration project. No, because God's hand is upon you and he has restored you. You are more valuable. Don't think that you're excluded because of any history in your life. So take that home with you. Oh! He's just touched something. So don't think because you've got history, it excludes you. You are more valuable. Secondly, God has not forgotten you. God will never be through with you. He is your shepherd. You are special to him. My beloved is mine and I am his. And that he is the answer to everything. It's not that we're going to need to go and hug a tree. It's not that we need to to explore Hinduism or Buddhism or some other religion. God has revealed himself through Jesus, who says, come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody said to me at that meeting earlier in the week, well, Ian, you can't say that, because that's, they were in many ways saying, that's a bit arrogant to say that. Say that Jesus is the answer to the need, because we might think that somebody else is our answer to the need. Well, I said, it's not me that's arrogant when you think about it, because what you're doing is you're calling God arrogant. And really, the person who's arrogant is the man who thinks that he knows more than God. Thank you, Lord, that you are all we need. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you are all that we need. You have given yourself to us. Father, thank you that your love will never fail for us. You'll never be through with us. Father, thank you that you will never forget us. Father, thank you that we are precious in your sight. You say, you are my child. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you restore us and you put us back on our feet. And because you've done that restoration work in our lives, we are not less valuable, but more valuable. Father, may we not listen to the enemy's lies that because we've got history, that we're useless and worthless. But may we listen to the word of God that says, because I have restored you, because God has restored you, you are valuable. Father, thank you that you protect us from the enemy, that whatever happens in our lives, you're still on the throne, you're still King of Kings, you're still Lord of Lords, and you'll always be there for us. Father, thank you that your rod and staff comfort us, you lead and guide us. Father, thank you that your anointing is upon us, and you give us your peace and your joy, and your healing, and you're not mingy, but our cup overflows. Father, thank you that it's a certainty that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, that we will dwell with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to worship God a few songs. If you want prayer, it's time to come forward. Don't leave it till the end to come forward for prayer. We can encourage and support you and build you up in God. Maybe you might say to me, Ian, something has spoken to me. I just need you to support me in prayer regarding this. Then we'll gladly do that.